So you got a company and you got something that needs some strategic planning. This is the episode for you because Anthony Taylor was here and he is the CEO and senior strategic planner for SME Strategy. And we were talking about like strategizing and organizations and what they need and culture and personalities and organizations, how they've reformed and be able to transform what they've been doing with their teams and how they've grown. And it was such a great conversation. I love conversation around business and leadership and strategy and all that kind of stuff. I've always loved that kind of stuff. So I think you're going to really, truly enjoy this conversation. And Anthony really just left a lot of wisdom on the table. So I want you guys to pick it up. All right, let's go. What's up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And you know that we go around this amazing planet finding the best humans we can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today, I have somebody for y'all. So buckle up, because we're going to have a good time. We're going to wake Anthony up today, okay? So joining us today is Anthony Taylor. He's the CEO and Senior Strategist, Planning Facilitator, to speak English, at SME Strategy, a company recognized for its excellence in guiding businesses to success. Now, Anthony is not only a seasoned strategist with a background in business administration and project management, but also a passionate entrepreneur with over a decade of experience across diverse industries. He's an award-winning leader, a Global Entrepreneur Week ambassador for Canada, the author of I Wish I Knew Too, Anthony. All right. And he's hailing from Vancouver. Anthony brings this fresh, unfiltered approach to business strategy. And as you guys know, this is Straight Talk. So we do everything unfiltered. Anthony, welcome to Straight Talk. How are you?
I'm awesome, Nina. I'm excited to be here. Right? I'm ready to rock with you. No, I'm feeling good today and excited to be here. Thanks, sir.
Good. Well, I'm really glad you're here. So I know I gave like a little overview of who you are, but I really do want to get to know you. So who are you? Who are you, dude? Who are you?
I mean, that was pretty good wrap. I love the like straight talk, no chase kind of vibes. But really just been, my entire life's been dedicated to supporting entrepreneurs and business people, really help them accomplish what's most important to them, personally, professionally, doing that through the framework of strategic planning, run a consulting company that helps folks literally all over the world, create their strategic plans and helps them implement it. I'm a father of two, which is why I'm a little sleepy today. Just love getting to contribute and chat with folks like you who are just like really passionate about what they're doing. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else cool. I've taken up golf, which is pretty dope.
Oh, nice.
But I just get to travel around, go to meetings and just help people have breakthroughs. So I'm just excited to chat with you. And I love what you're about.
Thank you so much. So talk to us about how you got started. How did you get started into strategic planning? Is that something that you've always done? Like you bumped into it? Like tell us about that.
Yeah, honestly, I'm a waiter by trade, but my my origin story is I had a business partner who ripped me off for about $100,000. He was embezzling money from my company. Mm. And so I was, trying to figure out how to like, and I was writing like business plans and stuff, trying to help entrepreneurs like avoid the same mistakes that I had. And at the same time, I was involved in two nonprofit boards. They were very passionate people, but like it was like herding cats all the time. And we weren't able to have the impact we wanted to have. And so through those kind of like two converging experiences, I found strategic planning, built a process to make it like super easy for entrepreneurs, like not like limited to, big four consultancies. And then we've, packaged it, put in a way, approached it. And then we've been leading this for like, hundreds of people, been at it for 13, 14 years now. So we're rocking.
So talk to me about, if you don't mind, about the partnership part, right? Because I know that I have a lot of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs that listen to the show, right? And what you've gone through, I've spoken to other entrepreneurs who have gone through that, and it hurts. It hurts like a son of a gun, right? So talk to me about that. For those who are listening, right? Strategy is also including who you have around you, what you're doing, right? That kind of stuff. So tell me what happened there, if you don't mind sharing. I don't know what you can and cannot share. Like, tell me what happened there, and also how somebody can maybe avoid that kind of a pitfall or something like that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a lot of factors to it. I'd say, you know, at the time, you know, I was pretty young. I was ambitious. I like wanted it. So like, you know, there's like how much excuses did I make for myself? Yeah. There was like checks and balances. Like the sucky part was, you know, we had an accountant. So it was him and the accountant. Like, so I thought we had like a safeguard. Mm-hmm. And so there just like wasn't sufficient protections, you know, kind of putting good money after bad, putting too much trust. I mean, I can get into it, but really it was, you know, it was a tough financial time too. So like, I don't want to give this person like any credit, like had they made better decisions at a different time of their own life. But really ultimately it was, you know, my brother had cancer at the time. I was in school, like going after a degree. And so I took my eye off the ball, so to speak.
There you go.
Yeah. And the second part, like this person was like, everybody I talked to was like, this person's great. I know them. He's great. So like a vetted person. But even like, you know, circumstances change. And so, yeah, that's just kind of how it went down. The number one of the big challenges I see with entrepreneurs is in partnerships and having unclear expectations or wanting to really like the relationship trumps the business. But so that's the thing. If I had tighter controls in my business, I don't think I would have made the same mistake. But
what But what a great lesson to learn, right?
Yeah.
What a great lesson to learn. So do you believe in partnerships now?
Do I believe in partnerships? I think inherently they make sense. You have to, like, if you're going to accomplish something big, you need to work with people. I think it's just like, would I bring in a business partner? Would I bring in an investor into my business? The answer is no. You know, am I gun shy? Maybe. But you know, it's not what I need right now, but it works for some people, but it also doesn't work for a lot of people too. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that, I want to dig into, SME or what you're doing there. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I know that you are like the CEO and the senior strategic planning facilitator and all that kind of stuff. But what does that all mean? What is it that you're doing? Right. Because I know that you know, when I was reading your bio, you're recognized for guiding businesses to success and all of that. But what does that mean, Anthony? Break that down for us.
Yeah. So organizations, companies, so for-profit, not-for-profit, they typically have like a planning cycle and they will do something that's called a strategic plan. So if you're an entrepreneur, you're probably familiar with a business plan. Mm-hmm. A strategic plan is basically the same thing. The nuance is when you're an entrepreneur or a small company, you maybe have yourself and one or two or three employees. Many of the companies that we work with are kind of 5 to 10 to 50 to 100 to 500 million and more. So they might have hundreds or thousands of employees. And so the reason a strategic plan is important is it helps the CEO, the leadership team, often, you know, 7 to 10 to 15 people, all get on the same page in terms of where the organization's at now, where they want to go, what are some of the main challenges that are going to get in the way, what do they need to prioritize in terms of all of these opportunities? And what are they tactically going to get done over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months? And then our company helps facilitate those conversations as an external, you know, unbiased third party to help the conversation stay focused. And typically those happen over 2 or 3 days. And then our team also supports with implementation, accountability, leadership coaching towards the accomplishment of that vision.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen a bigger companies, or let's say a company that has 7, 10, you know, employees, whatever. Have you seen, you're probably going to say yes, chaos in some of these organizations? Because I feel like, you know, I've worked for pretty big organizations, right? And I work for like startups. So, you know, you kind of like have both, and startups can sometimes be a hot mess. But tell me about what like some of the bigger challenges that you've seen that you've kind of helped these organizations get through?
Well, I mean, I would say the hot messes, the bigger organizations are typically the ones that are more of the hot mess because they have more of a leeway to make mistakes. As a startup, you don't have a lot of like mistake space. So you're kind of like on top of it. It's where you start getting like layers of teams and, you know, bigger budgets and a little bit more like room for error. I just did a webinar, you know, today and yesterday on high functioning teams. And so like the opposite of that is low functioning teams or dysfunctional teams where there's no trust, there's no clarity, there's no focus. Often with like a 7 to 10 to 15 person company, it's easier because there's like the boss and the employees and they do it.
Yeah.
The big challenge I see with like solopreneurs is holding on to too much of the business versus delegating it. And then thinking they can do everything. And then the other one is CEOs often thinking two or three steps ahead, but not kind of looping their team into the decision or like jumping into a decision three steps down the road. And the team is just trying to figure out like how to make it happen.
Oh yeah. Those are such fun days. You're bringing me right back. Woo. All right. So then when you're working with these teams, I think, you know, one of the biggest things that is necessary is that a lot of when we bring in strategic companies or, companies that do like evaluations of the teams and stuff like that, that it usually starts at the head, right? Mm-hmm. So are you finding them receptive, especially when it comes to like the CEO, COOs, things like that? Or are you finding it easier to work with the management instead? Or tell me about like the strategy behind what you feel is more effective.
Starting at the top is always the most important because that's where like all of the decisions get made. The way we've positioned our business is like, we don't sell to anybody, but we let them buy us, as in purchase our services. And so they're not going to work with us if they don't want to work with us. And so that's helpful. But really you could work with a management team, but if the senior leadership team's not on the same page, if the CEO and their people are not on the same page, you know, it's kind of not all for naught, but it's, you know, a more challenging go. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, like, if you don't mind, like just breaking it down a little bit, what does a first time going into these organizations look like? Right. So I have a lot of, like I told you, entrepreneurs and stuff that listen to this show. Right. So maybe they're considering, hey, you know what? I have a team of 7, 10, 12, whatever people. How do I start this process? So what does it look like when you go into these organizations to start the strategic planning with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first thing we do is we do a survey with the team. And the survey asks, you know, key themes like, you know, what are we doing well? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? You know, what should we be focusing? And the key thing to remember is we're not planning in the short term, like operational. We're thinking like strategic, big picture, kind of 30,000 feet. Where do we want the company to be in 3 years, not 3 minutes? Right. So we do a survey with the team to assess how aligned the team is. Like if success was a place, how would we know if we're going there? Because if we're not all going to the same place, we're going to different places. So we do a survey. We also interview members of the leadership team to kind of get a better understanding of, you know, how the team works. You know, what are some of their priorities? Like just get a vibe of the team before we go in there. We send out the survey for the team to review. So like, we don't need the answers. It's more for the team to say like, hey, what does my team think of where we're at? Do we think we're doing well? Do we think we're doing bad? And then we go through, typically it's, you know, 2 days in person, sometimes virtual, and we'll go to like often an offsite location. Teams like want to do a retreat. They say, hey, we're doing strategic planning. And then really just kind of taking a sense of like inside and out of the business and saying, hey, you know, what does success look like to us? You know, if we're doing $1 million, do we want to do $3 million in 3 years or 5 million or 10 million? It's not always about just like grow, but it is about making sure that we're all aiming at the same thing and all prioritizing the same stuff so that we're not wasting our effort. We're not spreading our resources, or worse, we're not fighting. We call it the multiple destination trap. If you don't know where you're going, then different people are going to prioritize different things. You're not going to make any decisions. You're going to spin around in circles. Shiny object syndrome, as it might be affecting entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I call it squirrel, right? We see something, squirrel. Yeah. You know, it's just like, go to the next thing. So talk to me about some of the challenges you might see. Because as you're talking, right, I'm thinking about a big organization I used to be a part of. And I remember I was always the outspoken one because that's just how I am. But hey, my husband would agree with you. But you know what I did notice, Anthony, is that some people didn't want to speak at all. Like they were just like really, I don't want to say terrified, but very afraid of saying the truth or saying what was really happening because their job would be on the line, or, you know, like they would really feel that. And I got that. I understood what they were coming from. I just didn't give a shit. But some people really, you know, it really affected them. So how do you navigate that? Like, are these feedback things with you anonymous, or like, tell me how that works.
So, I mean, it's you're all about straight talk, so I would expect no less. I think it comes down to a couple things, right? So there's personality, and then there's psychological safety and trust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, you might be like, I actually find the smartest people say the least. And so our job as facilitators, that's like our technical term, our job is to pull the right answers out of those people. Right. Not the right answers. We just need to pull them because they know what they say. They're just not loud. Like often right. It's like the loud people that get the stage. The other reason we do a survey is it because it democratizes the answer. So some people don't like to, and this is kind of on the organizational behavior people side, some people don't like to share on their feet. They like processing time. So we do a survey so that it can include those people. So that's like on the personality side, getting them to be prompted and then providing different mechanisms for them to share their feedback. On the like, I'm scared for my job kind of vibes, then that goes back down to like psychological safety. There's not enough trust. They don't feel safe sharing their opinion. You know, as a facilitator, I can't fix that. Per se, but it's really about creating an environment where there is trust, where they do recognize that their stuff is you know, important. But yeah, organizations that have low psychological safety, low trust, that's where you have a lot of turnover. That's where you have like resignation. And it's a really expensive problem. And it's one that we fix institutionally, but not just like, hey, we're trying to help one person. It's looking at the entire organizations and trying to put like the right environment for those people to be successful, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you hear that?
I don't know what I'm hearing. It could be, if you hear like little stomping, I really hope it's not my kid upstairs. That'd be a very powerful mic, but I don't know what the noise is. I don't hear
it. I don't know what the noise is either. That was weird. Okay. So I'm like, is that me? I don't know where that's coming from. Okay. So, you know, and that's great. I think that I love that you're like really trying to give them different modalities on how to be able to be, right? To just like show up for them too, because it's going to make their business or their jobs feel better. Like you want to go to work, right? Because I've worked in toxic environments, right? And that's a very difficult thing to do. Like to go every day to work in a toxic environment is very challenging. So I love that you're stepping into, you know, helping these people out. I want to hear, if you don't mind sharing, you don't have to share the names, of course, but I'd love to hear something that you've seen that your organization was able to really help somebody turn it around. Do you have like a, like one of those stories where you're like, this was this, but it became this?
Okay. So before I answer that, cause I'll kind of need a bit of time. Like my belief is I can change the world through strategic planning. So if we do a good job with an organization, the leadership is on the same page. That means people have direction, which means they can be successful. If you're successful and you have direction, you're happy, which means that like you bring it home, which means you can like have a good family, which means you can have like a good community. So like that's why at SME Strategy, why we do this. I mean, we work with, I'm really trying to think of it because there's kind of two levels. One is we do the strategy session and we're kind of in and out and people feel good. There's other where it's like deeper, like we have an organization in North Carolina that we work with them for 3 years. And they, their way of like working together, while it's not perfect, is that they have so many more tools to be able to collaborate effectively as they're transitioning in their businesses. The one that we hear a lot is we would have never had a meeting this effective. And I know, again, that's kind of like that's a generalization, good. But we get like dozens of times. They just say, we would have never made it through 20% of this had you not kept us focused. That's and good. So there's other organizations where you know, I'm thinking of one manufacturer in the kind of northeast of the US, and we worked with them for a year and a half. And like by putting in the structures in place, like we gave them capacity to take the next leap. Like they didn't need to hire us forever because the CEO had the direction. We did the heavy lifting, and then they were then able to give them enough time to hire people internally to get the work like done at depth. So like, we don't want clients forever. We want them to let us go because we're trying to build capacity, not just have them pay us forever.
Yeah. So are you doing all of this? I know you said you do both, you know, video and in person. So when you have like big companies like this that are trying to have these meetings with you, do you find one more effective than the other? Do you sometimes just do video only? Like, how does that look?
I mean, we have, if anybody's interested, you know, look at virtual or in-person strategic planning on the internet. I think it's different strokes for different folks. Most people like in-person better.
Yeah.
It's like kind of more intense. It's more time constrained. You have a little bit more like leeway to like have informal conversations.
Yeah.
Plus there's dinners and team building and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I have folks in the US. I travel across the US. I'm going to Florida in a couple of weeks. But I literally do like 10 to 15 to 20 trips a year.
Oh, wow.
And then virtual is nice because it gives you like time and space in between. So instead of like 2 8-hour days that are like super intense, it's 5 3-hour sessions over a couple weeks. It's just easier for the calendar. It's a little bit more focused, but it's on Zoom. So it's, you know, a little bit harder to stay focused because there's more distraction. But during like the COVID time, pandemic time, where everybody was locked down, we were still able to do strategic planning for folks because it was done digitally. All of our implementation work is done digitally. So that, you know, we get teams that join on their, you know, computers or whatever, and we have those conversations because it's just easier than trying to like coordinate everybody to do a 2 or 3 hour meeting when they're dispersed.
Now, talk to me about like somebody who's listening right now. How do they know when they are needing strategic planning? Like, is there like, you know, some measures that they should be looking at, right? To say, okay, I think it's time to get Anthony and his team in here. We need strategic planning, right? So, because sometimes, I mean, honestly, sometimes you can just keep going blindly for years. You know, like you were saying, like there's a lot of turnover that's very expensive. Like at some point you have to look at that kind of stuff and be like, okay, we are obviously doing something wrong here. But I'm just wondering, like, at what point can they start to really turn things around, or what they should be looking at? What's the measure?
So I think everybody needs a strategic plan. So whether it's like your brand new business, a business plan, whether you're an established business with a couple employees or whatever, a strategic plan helps everybody, whether you need a facilitator or not. The question I would ask you, and so if you have a pen and paper, if you're reading this, it's like, imagine it's 3 years from today. Okay. Like today's date, write down today's date, 3 years. And say, if I was 100% successful, how would I know? Like, what would it look like? And describe it in vivid detail. And assuming you have a couple people leading your organization. So maybe, you know, if you're the CEO or whatever, and you might have 2 or 3 or 4 like actual leaders, not like one leader and a bunch of staff, like really you have a team. Ask everybody else the same question. And if you have different answers, that's when you really need a team strategic planning session, because you're going to prioritize different decisions. You're going to move in different directions and you're fundamentally not aligned. We do have a scorecard online around our, like it's called our One Destination Scorecard. It's 10 questions where you can say, hey, do we have a unified way of communicating? It also basically comes down to alignment. Are we 100% aligned in terms of how we work, our culture and our plan? And if not, it's costing you money.
Yeah. You know what? That's awesome. And I really, I love leadership anyway. I love like leadership and, you know, I love talking about all that because I think it's so important and we affect so many lives, you know, you know, being a solopreneur and I have a small team, but being a solopreneur and stuff, I know how important it is for me to meet with them every week to communicate every day, to know what exactly what's going on. And that's always very important. And I'm thinking, you know, for organizations that are even bigger than that, it is so important, Anthony. Because it right now we are, at least everything has changed since, you know, the big C word, right? Since the big COVID, right? Everything's changed and leadership has changed and employees have changed and the way people connect with organizations have changed. Things have changed, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that you've also had to pivot and change as well. Like, okay, this is what's happening in organizations. We need to pivot. We need to understand what's happening. And, you know, I've seen major big players leave organizations that have been there for a long time and they just left. You know what I mean? So things have changed, Anthony. So how do you think these organizations that are now bringing in maybe, you know, a new generation of players or a new way of thinking, right? How do they start to work at retaining their people? Because people are, they're quitting. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a little harder now because inflation is so high. People are actually working two jobs or three jobs. But, you know, I'm just wondering, how do we keep people? How do we keep them? How do we do that?
Yeah. How do we keep people? They have to make sure that they are fulfilled in their work. They like their work and their work is paying the bills. And so like people will quit jobs for a little bit more money, but they say like people don't quit jobs. They quit managers. So equipping the managers. People want to win. So they need to know what winning looks like. So they need to have like scorecards. They also need to know the rules, which means they need to have, clear culture and expectations, because if the rules keep changing, like you wouldn't play a game very long if you didn't know the rules. And they need leadership. Like they need space to grow in. Like one of the reasons, Nina, I believe you're a great leader is, you know, whether culturally or otherwise, you seem to be a very explicit communicator. There's like, you're clear about what you're saying and it's very, it's understandable. And I get where you're coming from there. You know, it's straight talk. Unfortunately, a lot of communicators, whether that's because of their cultural background, personal background, just their style, they aren't as explicit. There's a lot of context needed. And so it's open to interpretation. And so when it's open to interpretation, you never know where you sit. You know, when someone's like talking to you and you're like, oh, that was kind of okay. And you're like, well, are you happy or are you not happy? And so like you as a leader are probably very, you're probably very direct. You are very direct.
Yeah, other I am. Folk
aren't direct. And so it makes it really hard for people to follow them. And so it's been said that a leader with no followers is just going for a walk. So why people quit is because they're not following anybody because there's nobody leading them.
Yeah.
The other consideration for, you know, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, there's like 5-6 generations in the workforce and everybody wants to do work differently. You know, maybe you need to say skibbity toilet or say aura points for somebody who's like 18 years old in your organization. Meanwhile, somebody 60, you know, they value loyalty. They don't want any bullshit, pardon my French. And then somebody who's 40, you know, they're looking for that next opportunity. They want to leverage technology. Somebody 30 in their organization thinks they knows all of the answers and they're going to try to revolutionize, but they need mentorship and they need to slow their roll. So like you as a leader have a harder job than ever. And that's why it's so important to like build as much structure in place so you're not, you know, trying to pull your hair out every day.
Yeah. And I love that you just like really nailed it on all those different generations and what you think. I'm thinking about my process too. That's exactly how I was through all those times. But I really love this. I love this conversation. I love what you're doing. I just want to see our organizations build stronger leadership. And, you know, to understand that just because you put somebody in a leadership role, you shouldn't just leave them there. Like you should really nurture that. You should really, you know, help them along, because one of the things I've seen is they either do a lot of shifting in organizations where they're changing everybody's positions all the time. And that just makes you unsteady. It makes you, you know, it makes you feel like you, maybe you're not good enough or smart enough. It like this imposter syndrome comes in. And when you do that a lot, like it does feel bad. It really does. You know, like so I was speaking to a leader who was like, oh, we always change their offices like every year. I'm like, why do you do that? Oh, just to keep them on their toes. I said, not a good idea. Not a good idea. You know, I said, and they're, what do you mean? I'm like, well, because you're shifting them from office to office. There's no anchor. There's nothing for them to say, this is my space. You know, like, but it isn't their space. I'm like, exactly. So they're going to be gone very soon. And sure enough, most of the people are gone. You know what I mean? Because you can't do that to people. You know,
yeah, but we call it, we say be trauma informed. Like human beings are like, they're not objects and they have all of these like feelings and thoughts. And so like as a leader, you need to be aware of like what sets people off and then what helps them be successful. And changing offices every year is probably not going to make them successful.
Yeah. And you have to be empathetic to people too. Like, you know, if you're somebody who's maybe never had children, but you have people who have children, you know, don't think like their life just like they can't, they don't have to take care of their kids. Like if their kid is sick and they're like, I really, my kid is sick. Well, I'm sorry, you got to be here. Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're human beings. So there's so many aspects to this, Anthony. And I'm glad that you guys are going in there and saying, okay, let's really talk and break this down. And I wish, honestly, I really wish that every organization would do this. I wish every organization would call for a strategic person to come in. And unfortunately, they don't, Anthony, because I've worked with a few. They do not, you know? And sometimes me as a coach, I've gone through like neurolinguistic programming and positive intelligence and all that kind of stuff. So my team was behind me 1,000%. Like every time I'd be like, all right, guys, you know, they would like jump off a cliff. You know what I'm saying? Because I said, let's go. Let's jump off this cliff. Why? Because I learned to develop that personal relationship with them, but also they knew where I stood, right? Just to your point about being clear. But when I left, so did many, right? Unfortunately. But the good part was, is that I also instilled in them the values of the company, where we stood, how we do things together, you know, as a team. But when nobody else is doing it, it's hard. This is where Anthony comes in, right? Because if one team is thriving and all the other teams around it is not, something has to be done. Because when that leader leaves, so will everybody else. It's unfortunate, but it happens, right?
Absolutely. I believe that there is a bad management tax. So if you are having a high turnover, so first of all, Nina, I love what you're saying. And I think your people were grateful for you that got to work with you. It's like people don't think of the cost. They only think of the cost of hiring somebody. They don't think the cost of not hiring somebody. So if you have to replace one or two or three or four employees every year, that's costing you like 100, 200 grand.
Lot.
So you're like, okay, well, I don't want to spend 20 grand on a consultant. Meanwhile, you're still spending the 150, you're like replacing these people. It's like you're one way or the other, you're going to pay.
Yeah.
So choose.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what it is too, Anthony? I think a lot of CEOs need to get out of their own ego. You need to get out of your own ego.
That's a whole other podcast.
We could do that because we could go in there. But Anthony, you are freaking awesome. I love this conversation. I love what you're doing. And I want those who are listening, y'all. Okay, because we get a lot of downloads. We got $150,000. We get a lot of people listen. I want them to understand, Anthony, that if you want to see yourself thrive, you got to bring in the pros. You got to bring someone else who sees your blind spots. Get out of your own freaking ego. Step off the damn horse and like start to realize that you were once in a position that was maybe in their position, right? And so you felt certain ways too. And I think, Anthony, that having you come and your team come and then just like help them thrive, get over yourself. You're not all that. You know what I mean? Like, let's all work together for the goal of the company, whatever that company is, because if it has a lot of employees, that means they're doing something right, or there's something that people want. So let's do it right. Right. So Anthony, go ahead and give us how people can contact you, work with you, all that kind of great stuff.
Awesome. So first and foremost, like Nina, I know you're like committed to like pouring into your people and supporting them, and me too. So almost everything we have, like tools wise, like you can get it for free. So if there's anything like strategy or leadership related, you know, Google SME strategy, like I don't want cost to be an issue. And, you know, sometimes there's big issues. So smestrategy.net, that's where you can find me, Anthony C. Taylor on LinkedIn. We can come and lead a strategy workshop for your team. But honestly, like just having the conversation around, are we on the same page? Are we clear? Is the first step. And then, you know, if it makes sense, happy to support. But Nina, just such a pleasure chatting with you. Like, I love what you're doing. Keep it up. And, you know, grateful for what you're doing for your people, because I'm sure they appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, man. I really do, because I love leadership. I really do. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur now and I love being on my own, but I really enjoyed leading others to success. I loved it, right? And so I love these kind of conversations because, like I said, I have a lot of like entrepreneurs and CEOs and stuff that listen to the show. And I think that, you know, sometimes we just get in our own freaking way. We just get in our own way. And so you need somebody like you, Anthony. So thank you for being here and sharing all the wisdom. I truly am grateful. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine, Nina.
All right, y'all, you heard him, right? Get on to his website and make sure go to SME and make sure that you actually download those free tools. At least get started. At least get started. Because if you can get started that way, you're going to see, like, you're not going to move forward if you're constantly having this divide and people are leaving and you're constantly retraining and constantly re-showing people the culture and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, it just makes it so much harder. It doesn't have to be this hard. If you just take some of that budget and invest it in somebody who can come in and a team that can come in and really strategize with you, you're going to make it farther. I promise you that, because that is the way it works. When you have somebody who can see your blind spots, then you're no longer blind. Okay. All right. That's all. I'm going to just leave it right there. Thank you guys for hanging out with me and Anthony. I love you guys so much. I'm going to link all of his information below so that you can get your together. Okay. Thank you guys for being here. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.